Hello and welcome to AJTV episode 18. I am, of course, AJ Rivera, and on today's episode, we're going to talk all about the current state of the fitness industry in 2017, and I'm going to answer some questions live for you here as you see fit. So thank you guys for being here, and let's go ahead and cue some intro. Welcome to AJTV episode 18. So today I wanted to talk about a few different things that are going on in the fitness industry and what you should be ready for in 2017, okay? So I'm of course AJ Rivera. This is the show where we talk about all things entrepreneur, fitness business, normal business. A lot of times we bring on high level authors, coaches, speakers, consultants, entrepreneurs, marketers, all these cool people, and we'll get their ninja secrets and stuff like that. And today I'm going to be sharing with you some of the awesome stuff I've been learning over the past couple days that is really going to affect the way the fitness industry is going to go moving forward. So hey, thanks for being here. By the way, if you're on here, go ahead and say hi below in the comments, and we'll sort of get this rolling here. Current state of the fitness industry. So one of the first things people that I wanted to touch on is you're starting to see a lot of the lower level training things go away. So what I mean by that is when we talk about like these $50 per month fitness clubs or training studios or boot camps, CrossFits, whatever, a lot of those businesses are really having a hard time, right? And that's for a couple reasons. One is there's a lot of them popping up, right? It costs $0 to go down to the park and start a boot camp, and you can charge anything. And so if you're playing the price game, it's really easy to lose, because I could, if I wanted to, just walk across the street from your gym or studio or boot camp and say, oh, he charges $11 per session, I'm gonna charge $10.50. And potentially I could get all those clients back, especially when you're starting, because a new trainer is going to be able to give a lot of energy to those starting out clients. So they're going to think, oh man, I'm getting a better experience for cheaper, so 100% I'm going to go with this other gym. The other thing that's happening with that is now there's like an oversaturation, right? So what people are literally looking for, if they're kind of those deal hoppers looking for the cheapest things, is that they're looking literally for the exact cheapest thing that they can possibly afford and that they could jump into, right? So if you're middle expensive, they're not going to go with you unless they're looking for something high end, and it just so happens you're undercharging for your services. So that's one of the things where I've already seen it start going away, and we're going to see it more and more. And that's not to say boot camps won't still always exist. I think it's just, if you're trying to start now, like a low-end boot camp, and you're charging not enough, you're not delivering on the value, you're probably going to be in trouble going into 2017, because there's just too much competition for you to put out a mediocre product. It's just not working. So you either have to be the absolute dirt cheap product, or you need to, my preference is over-delivering on the experience and charging a little bit more, right? So that's sort of like the big trend you're gonna see. So if you're somebody who has a boot camp right now and it's like medium price and medium kind of delivery, switch. Either drop your price and keep your delivery the same, or what I would probably recommend is raising your prices personally, okay? So that's the first thing we've already noticed. It's been happening for years. People have been calling this for years, and now is when they're starting to die down. And a lot of the people who are potentially struggling are the ones who are like starting their business right now and saying, listen, I only need to make $3,000 a month to be happy and comfortable, and they're undercharging for their services, thinking they'll just get like, you know, a few people to pay their very low price. So that's one of the big things to look for, and we're gonna see more and more of those low end go away, right? And the ones that do stick around, they're not charging low prices, right? There's a CrossFit box not far from here, and it's fine, and they do a pretty really good job, but they're a higher end CrossFit box. They charge like $200 a month, and there could be up to 20 people in that session. So that's what I would, if you're a boot camper and you love boot camp, totally, or CrossFit, you love CrossFit, large group, whatever, right? Just make sure you're pricing yourself accordingly. You're charging at least whatever averages out to be $200 a month. So that's the first thing. The second thing, you're gonna see all these generalists go away. Now, people don't want to work with generalists anymore. It's not helpful. Nobody cares. Nobody wants it. People don't want to work with people. Hi, Asako. Hi, Carrie. People don't want to work with people who are beginners. Really, they just don't. And if I come to you and I'm like, yeah, I can help a mom get back to her pre-baby condition, and I can also help their son make the college basketball team. Nobody's gonna, even if that's true, it's gonna be hard for people to want to hand you money. So going into 2017, you're already seeing people with their gyms specifying with each of their programs what they deliver and working with a specific type of person and kind of being known for dominating one area. And I can't stress this enough, in an area where you're oversaturated with competition, specializing is the easiest way to charge more and stand out. Right, because everybody's gonna say, oh, "I can help you lose fat, gain muscle, feel better." That's not helpful. Like, anybody's gonna say that who's a personal trainer. Why should I hand you like $2,000 for 3 months of training versus handing this guy, $100 because he just, he said he can do the same exact thing as you. So specializing with who you work with. So if you're someone who's not sure, I generally ask two kinds of questions. I say, what kind of person do you like to work with? Right? And what kind of person are you good at getting results for? And find where those things cross. And it might be a couple people you can get results for and a couple people you like working with, and then cross those results and then see which one of those you basically either enjoy more or have gotten better results for. And that's how you can choose who your target market's going to be first. Like having a fitness training program that's for all people trying to get in shape, it'll never sell. Versus, one of my private clients, Aaron, he's a dude who works with dudes who are vegan, who are skinny fat, who want to look shredded, right? So that's way more specific. I'm way more apt to hand this dude $1,000 to help me, even if it's online, versus handing some other person who's like, yeah, I can help you, figure out how to do a vegan. I'm not that, and I've never done that, but I can figure it out. So specializing is the way to kind of stand out in the crowd. And that's not to say you can't eventually offer extra programs, but when you become known for one thing, it's a lot easier to then pivot into other segments of your same industry. So that's just my recommendation, and it's what I'm seeing is already happening in 2017, where you're literally having fitness studios who are like, we work mostly with women who, there's a cool yoga studio and they do yoga and spin, and they don't do like the spiritual side of yoga. Like, that's very niche. You have to like yoga and spin, and you don't like the meditation. Like, and so it's essentially like athletic yoga and spin all thrown in one. So that's, people are getting very, very niche down and specific with their offering. So knowing what you're doing and who you're serving is gonna help you a lot in this coming year and forever, right? So that's kind of the second biggest trend we're seeing. And then the third one is in 2017 with the industry, fitness industry, is you're going to need to see people actually start to market like for real. And what do I mean by that? So like for the past 4 or 5 years, luckily the fitness industry has been able to get away with basically just having a really good Facebook ad, right? And that's just the truth. You could have no content on the internet, you could have no ranking with your website, you could have no results even, but if you have a Facebook ad, you can just get leads in and leads in and leads in, right? So I think this is gonna be great. It's gonna be a little bit of a draining of the swamp, because people who don't get results are gonna be outed, and or they're gonna have to start getting better at their jobs, right? People are doing a little bit more research now before they just click on an ad. They actually check out your page first. They might Google you, right? A lot of you people watching me probably Googled me before you jumped on here. I bet you'll Google me after this show, if not. And so really delivering a program that gives amazing results is and going into the other sectors of marketing. You can't just rely on that one funnel. All these one funnel people, they're gone. They are gone at 24 months tops. They're all gone because it's not enough anymore. You essentially gamed the system to becoming a successful business owner. You need to have all the principles and the practical things in your business built in there. It's gonna be great. And for those of you who have been like, hey, we've been doing okay, but not amazing, but you've been giving your clients amazing results, you've been focusing on your content marketing, you've been building up your website, becoming platform independent, those people are going to win big time in the next 24 months because all this other crap is going to be drained, and you're going to be what's left. You're going to be what's left, right? You're going to be the cream of the crop that's rising, right? So you're going to be the person who's been in the industry for like 5 years. And yeah, no more funnel swipers, Kerry, totally. And it's a great trend. And so if you're needing ideas for marketing, what to do now, right? So like, I'm huge, obviously, into Facebook marketing, and I think Facebook video. Yeah, and Chris, you're right. You got to get them results, man. But I would focus a lot of your energy into creating a video presence on Facebook. Facebook is going to be the way we all consume everything really soon. I think it could potentially replace things like email even, and actual physical TV could potentially be, once Facebook adds that cast button, right? Like, it's a whole new ballgame, because now this show essentially becomes a legitimate TV show that you cast to your TV. And so if you guys are able to consistently like put stuff out there and give and give and give for free and just have your really high-end program for when they are ready to buy, that for me is where this industry is going. This kind of old school ladder system, like have them buy a $7 thing and then have them buy a $97 thing and then have them buy a $9.97 thing. Like, I think it can still work. I just don't think it's as effective, honestly. I think it's going to take longer. It's a bigger pain in the butt. And I think the simpler thing is, here's a bunch of free stuff. When you're ready, I have an expensive thing, and it's amazing. And you know that because you watch my stuff all the time. So really building that awareness and building your audience, like, it is being super ignored. I think we're going to see a lot of people jump into it like a year from now. It's going to be too late for a lot of them. Depending on who they are, right? It's just going to become too expensive at that point. So doing it now, when you could literally grow it for free, is going to be a huge advantage for you moving forward. So yeah, good question. Paul Hildreth here, how much time do I spend every day on marketing? Yeah, it's a good question, because technically I fall in the category of marketer. I've tried to not think of myself as one. I feel like I'm more of a business coach, mentor. But we spend... I think it depends on what question you're asking, how much we're spending on a day on marketing, because our paid advertising is running 24/7, right? SEO and our like blog is, again, that's something that we spend out of, like, one good quality article a week. This sort of show, we do like at least one to two of them a week. And then I do just natural organic kind of Facebook lives and YouTube lives like two or three times a week. So I would probably say, me personally, on the business, like, how much work do I spend marketing? I spend probably like 2 hours a day. But again, I fall under the category of marketer. So like, most of my entire business is marketing. If you're an organic, like you own a brick and mortar, I would say you could probably spend 30 minutes to an hour marketing a day. And that's tops, right? That's presuming you're writing an email, which can take people a long time. My morning email takes me, you know, up to an hour to write sometimes, because I really try to make it good. But some people can write an email in like 15 minutes. And some days I do write an email in like 15 minutes, and it's quick. Other days, it takes a little longer. And then this show can be as short as 20 minutes, but it can go as long as like 45 or an hour. I've actually had some shows where I was just having such a good time with my guests, right? I think of Scott Oldford, actually, where I had budgeted for a half hour, but we were just having such a good time talking, and he was willing to stay on, so I was going to get all the information I could from him for an hour, and I think that was really valuable for not just me, but my audience as well. So, at least about an hour. And Carrie's saying she already watches Facebook instead of TV. Yeah, totally. Me too. I was watching like the congressional thing last night on my phone. I wasn't really even watching it on the TV, which is crazy. Inauguration Day, I watched that on my phone. Like, think of how much content you already consume on your phone. That is going to replace it, right? And then Facebook's just way ahead of everybody. So I would put a lot of your energy there. But of course, lean on your strengths as well. If you're a really good writer, focus on things like emails and blogs, right? If you're really good on camera, focus on video. If you're medium on camera like me, you can focus on video too. And if you're good at audio, right, maybe you're not so great on camera or you hate it, you could do things like podcasts, and those are still valuable. Again, I think we're going to see a lot of people jump to podcasting in the next year, because they think, it's like a last-ditch effort. Their one funnel dies, and so they're like, okay, podcast. But podcast is a long play. Like, it doesn't happen in a day, right? It happens over the course of, like, 6 months to a year. Just like SEO, just like video, just like YouTube. That those are long plays. But if you focus on them now, you're going to win, and you're going to have a real business that can't really be taken away if one marketing platform goes away. And that's where you're really, I think, a business. I think when you have lead flow and you have people coming to you, and like specifically like your website, like you have real visitors, you have real people subscribe to your Facebook page or subscribe to your email list, like those are the things, like that's the closest to platform independence you can have, and that can't be taken away from you. It's your website, right? If people like are visiting your website, you own it, right? That's probably the closest thing you can go to like being as safe, right? And not that we should be aiming to be safe. So, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm glad that was helpful, Paul. No problem, dude. So, yeah, so that's where I would focus. So, like right now, I would do a Facebook Live like every day. You know, I would have a free Facebook group if you don't already. I would do a I would start a YouTube channel. Listen, if you're not clever, like, take your same content and repurpose it, right? Like, it's not that difficult to do, and it's very inexpensive, and you can kind of be everywhere, right? Like, and that's the idea. Like, some people are like, be everywhere, and kind of I get that. Like, I probably said the opposite both times, but, you know, dominating one space is fine, and then trying to repurpose it to other places is probably a little bit better. And go to where your audience is, right? If your audience is on YouTube, right, then put all your stuff on YouTube. If your audience is on Facebook, okay, like if I was a trainer, I was working with women 35 to 45, you know, I would do all my stuff on Facebook because that's where all those women are. You know, if you work with athletes, you probably want to be maybe on Instagram instead. So like focus your energy to where your market is. And again, trying to continuously give value. Don't sell things, right? Like, this video I'm doing even here right now could probably be sold for $7, right? Probably have to talk slower, and it would probably have to be like 4 hours long. I don't know who wants to watch me talk for 4 hours, but it could be. So I would say instead, just keep, like, get your one thing you sell, and it's amazing, and then everything else is just free content that points them back to the one thing. So anyway, cool. So that's sort of where we're seeing the state of the fitness industry here in 2017 moving forward. We're seeing, you know, specialization, we're seeing the low end stuff go away, and we're seeing content kind of become king again, and you actually have to offer value to the market, which is a good thing, but it could also be potentially challenging and frustrating for some people as well. I think the last thing we're gonna say, or I wanted to say, is you're gonna see a huge boom in people jumping into online personal training and online fitness programs and stuff, and I think that's great. And I have clients who do that, they do it successfully, and they love it. It's great. But I think a lot of people who are jumping into online training they're going for the money grab, right? They've convinced themselves that they can't have a brick and mortar business. Oh, this isn't scalable. This isn't making money. We're guaranteed there's people out there breaking that rule right now. There's million-dollar studios out there right now, or million-dollar multi-studios. So, like, don't jump ship to another thing because it feels like it's easier. Because the grass is always greener, right? I'm a coach. Yeah, you know how many times I've thought about, maybe I should open a studio again, right? Like, when I had them, I was like, that was easier. Like, you're always thinking the other side of the fence is better, but it's really just a different challenge. So I would say with your businesses, if you want to be an online trainer because of the impact you can have and because you love helping people and you actually like to be a trainer, totally do it, and you should, and you'll be a great job, and we can help you. I have friends who are coaches of this as well who can help you. If you don't like me, that's fine, but don't jump into it for the money grab, because you're going to fail. It would be my guess, because people can see through it, and everybody who has an Instagram is an online trainer. So buy my abs program for $47. So I don't think that's going to work so well. So if you're thinking about going to online training, make sure you really over deliver. Get a program, make your program so good that if your mom bought it, you would be happy that she did. And you would say, man, this is an amazing program. I can't believe it was only $1,000. And that's really when you can feel good about what your business is doing. If you're selling a program and you're almost like shystering people, you're going to get found out. Like, you just are. And you might even be able to stockpile a bunch of money, but then everybody's going to know you as the guy who just scam people, or the girl who just scam people. So really, make sure you're offering some serious value in your program. Make a program good enough that if your mom's life depended on it, your best friend's life depended on it, you would buy it and you would feel confident that they would get the result from that program. So, yeah, so that would be just kind of my disclaimer with online personal training. I'm all for it. It's great. But if you don't, if you're not a good online personal trainer, then you're going to get found out and you're not going to have a business. And for those of you wondering, like my buddy John Goodman, he actually just launched his Online Trainer Academy. That whole thing, I actually have the book right here. It's this book right here. And I wasn't doing this as a promo for him, but I'm just, it's top of mind. This whole thing is designed to make you a good online personal trainer. It's not, I mean, there's sales and marketing in there and stuff, but it's mostly designed around making a program that doesn't suck, because there's too many people who are online trainers and they send like a PDF, they don't check in on people, they don't email people, they don't text people. Like, there's no accountability, and this is all about doing that at a high level so that you're not a scam artist. Like, be a trainer, don't be a jerk, you know? So yeah, so I get nothing for referring that. Yeah, anyway, I might recommend doing that or somebody else who you know, I mean, that's something we can help with or other people can help with as well. But if you're not sure on how to over deliver on that, you know, find a way to over deliver. Don't just try to like find some magic push button system that's just going to bring money in endlessly and you'll never have to work, because that doesn't exist. It just doesn't. Like, there's no sitting on the beach running your business. That's like, I mean, I'm sure somebody can do it out there, but it's not simple. It's a longer term thing. So, and I don't know anybody who does that. The kind of mindset and the type of discipline it takes to become a person who makes six figures online, seven figures online, eight figures online, that person with that discipline doesn't sit on the beach all day. They're hustling, they're doing work, they're putting out value, they're caring about their clients, they're meeting with their team. So be the type of person who is worth what you want to be making. So I guess I'll sort of leave you with that. I hope that was helpful for you guys. Thank you, Vicky Clark. I appreciate you. Appreciate the love. Corey, you're funny. He said this video could already be selling for thousands. I don't know about that, but thanks, man. Cool. So this has been AJTV episode 18, State of the Fitness Industry Right Now. I would love to know any other questions you guys have, comments or concerns. Throw them in the comments below. I do always come back here. No comment left behind. I reply to every single comment, even if it's just like people saying like I suck or that was great. I just, you know, I'll give them a little thumbs up or thank you or whatever. So any question you have, leave them below. I do want this to be for you. I want to answer it. So yeah. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Asako, it's so good to see you on here, Asako. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.